Okay, page 1096, the paragraph, Chamishi, Pasuk Yudalit. The last time we were learning the mitzvah of Hakel, of gathering all the Jews together, and we'll see, it's interesting, the mitzvah we're going to learn now is in that the last mitzvah of the Torah, which is to write a Sefer Torah. Every Jew has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. So the last two mitzvahs...
Did I win that Sefer Torah?
No, you didn't win it. Uh-oh. You know why? We didn't make the raffle yet. Okay. So not hope. That if we do it, you'll win.
There is hope.
There's still hope, yeah.
You didn't lose yet. Yeah.
Okay, now, the last two mitzvahs in the Sefer Torah, we're going to discuss when we get there. The last two mitzvahs of this of 613 is the mitzvah of gathering the Jews at the post-sabbatical year, the Hakel, as it's called, and the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. And we'll learn why, the explanation of why the Torah finishes, so to speak, the mitzvahs with those two mitzvahs that seemingly are not as important as a tefillin or shema or anything, but we'll see that. Okay, Vayem Hashem Omeisha, Hashem said to Meisha like this, Hein karvu yomecha olamus, your days are drawing near to die. And it's interesting, Hashem is not telling Meisha Rabbeinu, you are dying soon. He says, your days are dying soon. And the Medrash says that there are three tzaddikim, that the Torah does not say they came close to die. It says their days came close to die. And the Medrash says about these three tzaddikim, their days died, but they never died. Who are the three? Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, and David HaMelech. These are the three that the psukim don't say. Even by David, it says, "Vayikrivu yemei David lamus, yemei David, the days of David." By Yaakov Avinu, it says also, "The yemei Yaakov." Okay, and the third one was Moshe Rabbeinu, where it says here, and what does this mean? And that the Mefarshim say an interesting thing, that you know we say David Melech Yisrael, Chai v'Kayam. Yeah, we say in Kiddush Levana. Everybody knows the song. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Why doesn't it say David Ben Yishai Chai V'Kayim? Why does it say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim? That David, the King of Jews, is... So the Mefarshim say into a very cute thing. David is David. Melech is Moshe Rabbeinu. Rambam says Moshe Rabbeinu was the king. And Yisrael is Yaakov. Yaakov and Yisrael, interchangeable. So why do we say David, Melech, Yisrael, these three people, David, Melech, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, and Yisrael, who's Yaakov, Chai v'Kayim, they don't die, because the Torah by all three of them says, their days came close to die. And therefore, the Gemara says, interestingly, the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu Lomes, Yaakov Avinu didn't die. The Gemara says in Saita, Moshe Lomes, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die. And by David HaMelech we say, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim, that he's also alive. So why? Because by these three tzaddikim, only their days died, not them. Okay, so Hashem says...
What does that really mean?
I'll tell you what it means. The Gemara says, by Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara says in Tainus, Yaakov Avinu Lemes. So the Gemara says, V'chi bechtu chantu chatai, the Gemara says, what do you mean? They buried him. It says he buried him in the grave. What do you mean he didn't die? So by Yaakov Avinu it says, Mazara b'chayim afu b'chayim. If his children are alive, his children follow in his footsteps, so then he is alive. The physical Yaakov Avinu maybe is not alive, right? But the concept of Yaakov lives on through his children. Okay? So therefore the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu Lemes, and the Gemara explains, very simple. The Gemara says, what do you mean? So the Gemara says that his children, if his children are alive, he's alive. The legacy lives on. The Gemara says in Saita, Moshe Rabbeinu Lemes. The Gemara says, what does it mean, Moshe Rabbeinu Lemes? So the Gemara says, just like over here, Eimid HaMeshamesh, Makan Eimid HaMeshamesh, just like Moshe Rabbeinu over here, serve the Jewish people, Af Shama Emir Mishamish. This is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says this. The Gemara says this in Saita. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu served the Jews when he was alive, he served the Jews after he passed away. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive because he's still helping the Jewish people. Meaning, up in heaven, he's a good advocate for the Jewish people. And then you have David HaMelech, David HaMelech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. What does it mean, David HaMelech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim? The concept of royalty, the concept of Malchus, the concept of David HaMelech through Tillim, and all these things, so David HaMelech is alive. Okay? That's what it means. When it says these tzaddikim are alive, because the main life of a tzaddik, you have to understand, the main life of a tzaddik, the Zohar says, and the Alter Rebbe brings it down in Tanya, when he wrote a letter comforting, when the great tzaddik passed, one of his colleagues passed away, he wrote a letter to the children, that's Simen Chav Zayin, the Geres HaKodesh, the Alter Rebbe says, by a tzaddik we understand that the main life of the tzaddik was not Chayim Besorim, was not the physical life. What was the main life of a tzaddik? The main life of a tzaddik is spirituality. Torah, mitzvahs, you know, Kedusha. That's the main life of a tzaddik. Their physical life was secondary. It wasn't the main purpose, the main goal. So when a tzaddik passes away, and the same thing, obviously, any tzaddik, definitely, Moshe Rabbeinu was Yeshua Lekim, you know, definitely spiritual. David HaMelech was spiritual. Yaakov Avinu was spiritual. Moshe Rabbeinu, these are all, definitely their life was more spiritual, yeah? When a person passes away, the Zohar says, that ishtakach tzaddik, ishtakach b'chayayu, yatami b'chayayu. A tzaddik, after he passes away, he says, exists more than he did when he was alive. A tzaddik, this is what the Zohar says. When a tzaddik passes away, shtaker b'hai alma, that's what he says, shtaker b'hai alma, he found in this world, yater mi b'chayoi, more than when he was alive, physically. Why? So he says, like this, very simple, the Alter Rebbe explains this in Tanya. The life of a tzaddik primarily is spiritual. The body, if anything, hinders it. He has to eat, and he has to sleep, and there's bodily needs that Torah says you have to do, right? But that hinders the life of the tzaddik. When the tzaddik passes away, so again, according to Yiddishkeit, death is not an end. It's a beginning of a higher form of a life without the body. Now the neshama is leaving a much greater level of life. So therefore, when a tzaddik passes away, he is more spiritual, obviously, than when he was alive in a body. So therefore, if the life of a tzaddik is a spiritual life, then when it's more spiritual after he dies, physically, so then it's a much greater life for him. So therefore, he doesn't die. Because what's the life of spirituality? Spirituality doesn't die.
But that's only for a tzaddik, right?
But everybody's a tzaddik.
But in the,
don't hold your breath too much, though.
In the Tehillim, it says that, who can worship you under...
Pure heart, niki kapayim v'alevav. Okay. So, but every Jew is a tzaddik. Amech kulam tzaddikim. In fact, we mentioned this in the past. In the Zayed, there's a story, the Chassidus brings down, that Rabbi Shimon Meyachoy, whose holiday is coming up in 2 weeks, Rashbi had a yeshiva in the hills of Tzas called the Idra. There was the Idra Rabba, which means the big yeshiva, and he had his Idra Zuta, the small yeshiva. That was Rashbi's Kabbalah yeshiva. Okay? Eliyahu Navi used to come every day to the Idra. Don't ask me how, what, when, where. But Eliyahu Navi came every day to the yeshiva. One day he didn't come. We mentioned this, in fact, recently. One day he didn't come to the yeshiva. So the next day he came. So they said to him, you have a note for your absence, like, where were you? Why didn't you come? So he says, this great sage, this great tzaddik, Rav Hamnuna Sava, was a very big Kabbalist in the time of Rav Shimba Yochai. Rav Hamnuna Sava was in danger, Eliyahu Navi said, I had to go save him, and I can't be in two places at the same time. That's what the Zohar tells the story. So the question Chassidus asks, what do you mean Eliyahu Navi can't be in two places at the same time? He comes to Tavi Brit Milah, okay, according to many people, he comes to Tavi Seder, Pesach, he comes to the Seder. What do you mean? There's a million Britsin at the same time, Halavai. There's a lot of Britsin throughout the world at the same time, and Eliyahu Navi is present to Tavi Brits. So what do you mean he can't be in two places at the same time? So the answer Chassidus gives, is when he had to save the Rav Amnuna Sova, the old Rav Amnuna, he had to put himself into a body. And when he puts himself, Elyonavi, had to dress into a body. And once he's dressed in a body, the body limits him that he can't be anywhere else at the same time. So therefore, in that case, he says, for that time that I was saving Rav Amnuna Sova in the physical body, I couldn't come to the yeshiva. But when he comes, one second, when he comes to every Brit Mila, he comes to every Seder and everything, he doesn't come in a body, he could be over. So you see over there that a tzaddik, that's why he said Yaakov Avinu Limes, Moshe Rabbeinu Limes, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, and therefore the pasuk is saying over here, Hein Karvu Yomech Olamos, your days are getting close to die, but the tzaddik himself doesn't die. Do you know there's a Gemara in Ksubas that says, Rav Yehuda Anasi, they have a field day with this. The poskim have a field day with this. Rav Yehuda Anasi, the Gemara says, after he passed away, came home every Friday night to make kiddush for his wife and family. As it says in the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Anasi, after he died, came home every Friday night to make kiddush for the family. So the poskim ask a question. If he's dead, he's not obligated in mitzvahs. How can he make kiddush for his wife? They have a field day with that whole thing and how it happened. According to Sefer Chassidim, he came physically home and made kiddush after he passed away. So you're talking about things that are beyond our comprehension. But the fact is, the Gemara says, Torah says, that tzaddikim don't die. Because, like Moshe Rabbeinu, just like here, he took care of the Jews. He took care of the Jews, even after he passed away. And it's another interesting thing, which while we're on this topic already. Yaakov Avinu, when he died, told Yosef HaTzadik, get me out of here right away. You know, the second I die, take him. Like, right afterwards, he buried him in Maris and Machpelah. Yosef, on the other hand, what did he say? He told the Jews, when you go out of Egypt, take my bones with me. Yosef didn't say, take him up right away. Okay? So simply, because he knew Pharaoh wouldn't let. Okay? But there's a minion over here, right? Yaakov Avinu was taken out right away. Yosef was buried in Egypt until the Jews left. Yeah? Then we find Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, God didn't let him go into Israel, yeah? But why couldn't he at least be buried in Israel? Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu get buried in Israel? They just say they took all the Shvatim, the Gemara says. The bones, Reuven, Shimon, all their children took the bones of Reuven, Shimon, Levi. They were all buried in Israel. So why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu get buried in Eretz Israel? So the Rebbe explains a very profound concept. A Jewish leader is a leader when he's alive and when he's dead. He's a leader. Okay? Yaakov Avinu was the leader of the Jews in Israel. In Egypt, Yosef was the leader, not Yaakov. Who's the leader of the Jews in Egypt? It was Yosef. Yaakov was the Rebbe, so to speak, of Eretz Yisroel. So Yaakov said, listen, where were my Hasidim? My Hasidim were in Israel. Where do I need to get buried? In Israel. Yosef, yeah, he was the leader of the Jews in Egypt. He says, as long as my followers are in Egypt, I stay with them. I am dead, but a leader is a leader in alive and death, in life and death. So Yosef said, listen, while the Jews are in Mitzrayim, I'm their leader, I want to be there with them. You're going to go out of Egypt, no Jews left, take me out with you. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we're learning in these next few psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of the Jews in the desert, not in Israel. That was Yeshua. Okay, leadership was being given over to Yeshua. Where were Moshe Rabbeinu's chassidim? Where were his followers? In the desert. That's where they're buried. They all died in the desert, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, if that's where my people are, that's where I am. Understand? And that's the concept of a tzaddik serving the person even after they die. That's why the Gemara said Moshe Rabbeinu didn't die. Okay, so he says like this. Kras Yeshua, call Yeshua. Hashem's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, call Yeshua. If Siatzvu Ba'il Meid, I want you both to stand in the oil made in the, you know, the Mishkan. Vayelech Moshe v'Yeshua, Moshe went and Yeshua, v'yisyatzvu ba'el meid, and they stood in the, they went to the oil made. And the commentaries point out another interesting thing over here. What did Hashem tell Moshe? Hashem said to Moshe, call Yeshua and tell him to come to the Mishkan, right? The oil made. The pasuk doesn't say Moshe called him. The pasuk doesn't say Moshe called Yeshua, let's go. It says Moshe and Yeshua went. Why? Because like we learned before, Yeshua never left Moshe Rabbeinu. The Yomish Mitecha Oil. Yeshua was constantly with Moshe Rabbeinu. So there was no need. Where are you going?
Right,
oh. There was no need for Moshe to call Yeshua because he was always with them. Wherever Moshe Rabbeinu was, that's where Yeshua was. And therefore, the part that the Mepharshim explained, it says, Vayelech Moshe v'Yeshua, Vayisyatu ba'el meid, they went to the oil meid. Vayel Hashem ba'el ha'bamud anon, Hashem appeared in the tent in a pillar of a cloud, Vayamid amud anon al-Pesach ha'il. And the cloud stood by the entrance of the tent, meaning, so to speak, that Moshe and Yeshua have the private audience with God, and he didn't want anybody else outside of the tent to hear it. So Hashem put the cloud, so to speak, to separate between Moshe and Yeshua inside and everybody else outside. But Yema Hashem al Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe like this. I want you to know, in Chashechi v'mavisecha, you are going to lie with your forefather, meaning you're passing away. And I want you to know, the Kam Ha'am Hazeh, this people, after you die, Vizana and I are going to turn away. After the foreign gods, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to know that after you die, the Jews are going to worship idols. So the Gemara says an interesting thing. L'chaira, during the time of Yeshua, they didn't worship idols. It was after Yeshua died. So why does God tell Moshe that after you die, they're going to go worship idols? So the Medrash says another interesting point. As long as Yeshua was alive, it was like Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. So when Hashem said to him, after you die, they're going to go worship idols, that's as long as Yeshua was still alive, it was still the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Medrash says. Okay, but he's telling him, you should be aware that they're going to go after foreign gods, that the Jews are going to be in their midst. Vazavani, they're going to leave me. Vehefer is brisi, and they're going to annul the covenant, asher karati ita, that I made with the Jewish people. Okay? So Hashem's obviously going to get very angry at the Jewish people. Because he's telling him prophecy. It's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to die with Yeshua there. And Hashem says, I want you to know after you guys go, they're going back to idol worshipping. And I'm going to get angry. And I will forsake them. Just like they left me. Hashem says, I'm going to leave them. I mean, I'm not going to take care of them. And I will conceal my face from them. They will become prey to the enemies, meaning not literally eat them, but they'll kill them, they'll consume them. And many evils and distresses will encounter it, meaning they'll get a lot of tzaddis. And it'll be said on that day, why are the Jews suffering so much? Because God is not within me. Therefore, Metzuuni Aroi Se'ela, therefore, I'm going to they're getting all this evil. You know, Hashem says like this, let me tell you what's going to happen. They're going to go worship foreign gods, okay? I'm going to leave them. I will forsake them like they forsake me. They're going to be tortured by the Goyim, and everybody's going to say, you know why? Because God left them. But who caused God to leave them? They were the ones that caused God to leave them. Okay? Now, later on, it's going to say that Hashem promises the Jews are going to do tshuva. But until then, in fact, he quotes a Rashi in Yeshaya that this is the harshest of all prophecies. This is a very harsh prophecy. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu a prophecy, yeah, and is put into Torah for the Jews to know this, that they're going to sin, and they're going to forsake me, I'm going to forsake them, and they're going to have problems over their heads, and they're going to say it was caused because God is not with them. So now the question is, if God says this is what's going to happen, what happens to their free will now? It's destined to happen. How can they not do it? So basically Hashem is telling the Jews, you're going to sin and I'm going to punish you. So if Hashem says to them, you're going to sin, how could they not sin? Hashem tells them what's going to happen. Yeah. So there's two answers to this. Number one, Hashem is not telling them that they should sin. Hashem is telling them the future. I'm just telling you this is what will happen, but I'm not making you sin. The sin is your choice. But because Hashem knows the future, because by Hashem, past, present, and future are all one, which we can't understand. So Hashem knows what the future has, but he's not making it happen. Like you go to a fortune teller or the stargazers, they'll tell you what's going to happen to you, but they're not forcing it to happen. You choose it to happen. You choose to sin. And therefore God says, I know what's going to happen, and that's what's going to happen. But I'm not making you sin. A deeper answer to the question is, then they don't have any destiny. Then it's destined, that means they don't have free choice. The real answer is, and the Rambam alludes to this in many places, that even when God himself says you are going to sin, we have the choice not to sin. Just like we discussed, the Rambam discusses this. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, I'm going to harden the heart of Paray. He's not going to let you go. And then we're going to punish him for not letting you go out. So the obvious question is, that doesn't make sense. God says, I'm going to harden his heart. And then he punishes him. So like we said many times, I tie your hands behind your back. I tie your hands behind your back. And then I tell you, do something that you can't because I tied your hand behind your back. And then I beat you up because you didn't do what I told you to do. God says, I'm going to harden his heart. He's not going to listen to you. And then he punishes him for not listening. What do you want him to do? So what's the obvious answer? The obvious answer is, even when Hashem says, I'm going to harden his heart and he's not going to listen to you, he could still listen. That's the greatness of free choice. That even when Hashem himself says, you're going to sin, a Jew, or even a Goyim partisan, has the ability not to sin. Even though God says you could, you're going to sin. That's the greatness of a person, that even when Hashem himself says you're going to sin, you have the ability not to sin. And that's why Hashem punished Paray. Hashem punished Paray because even though Hashem said, I'm going to harden his heart, he had the ability not to listen, and to let the Jews out.
So wait, that's why he punished them, or he punished them because he's 100 years of slavery, murder, and everything else?
No, that's what Hashem said that to Avraham Avinu, they're going to be slaves.
You know,
what?
I saw a documentary, The Final Days of Hitler.
Yeah.
Right? And it was amazing how similar that story is with Pharaoh. His heart was hardened and hardened more and more, and he just, kept pushing and pushing, and Germany just got wiped out. Meaning, like, we're not going to lose, and he told his people, the Germans, we're not going to lose, keep pushing.
And they lost.
And the Russians and the...
God still runs the world any way you want to look at it.
Wiped Germany off the face.
Yep.
whereas most people would have given up, and you know, Berlin would have stayed a city instead of Bayern.
Okay, but again, God still runs the world. Okay, next pasuk is a very interesting pasuk. Vanechi pasuk Yudches 18. Vanechi hastir aster panei bayemahu. Hashem says, on that day, I'm gonna conceal my face. I'll call Arah for all the evil, Asher also that you did, kipana al alakim acherim, because you turned to other gods. You know, it's an interesting thing. The Gemara asks, in Megiddon story, put him, the Gemara says, where do we find Mordechai min atayra minayin? Where do we find Mordechai's name in the Chumash? And the Gemara answers that in the beginning of the Kisi, so when it speaks about the spices, it says Mordoror. Mordoror was a type of a spice. And Targum Unklus says on it, Mordoror Mordachia, which is Mordechai. So Mordoror is the name of Mordechai in the Chumash. Then the Gemara says, Esther min atayra minayin. Where do we find the name Esther in the Torah? And the Gemara calls this pasuk. Hanechi hastir astir. Esther. Pana bayemahu. I'm going to conceal myself from, one of the reasons, by the way, why Esther was called Esther, because she didn't tell everybody her nationality and didn't tell anybody who she was. So she was called Esther. But here it says, Hanechi hastir astir pana bayemahu. It's not only one concealment, it's hastir, astir is double concealment. Right? Double concealment on that day. What does that mean that Hashem is going to, okay, bottom line is, One great Rebbe says that you'll say that God is not with me. There can't be. God is always with the Jews. There's a passage that says, "Gam b'shasachet," even at the time of the sin, "Haisa ba'am na'itay." God was trustworthy with the Jewish people. Okay, God is concealing Himself by Yemahu. Now, what does this pasuk mean? Just those few words. Hanechi hastir astir pane bayemahu. Okay. You have, in Hebrew, you have ze, and you have who. Who is that day? That day. Ze, bayema ze, means this day. What's the difference between this day and that day? This day is revealed. You see it this day. That day is not here. It's not in front of you. Right? It's a hidden day. It's not revealed yet. Evil is called the level of who. Who is a level of evil where God isn't present. It's concealment. Like it says, there's po and shum. Shum also means there. There means away from. Okay, the pasuk says, "Ubikashtem misham es Hashem alakachem etzasa." You should seek out from there. Gan Pashas Veschan in the Torah says, "Ubikashtem misham es Hashem alakachem." You should seek out from there, God, and you'll find Him when you seek Him with your true heart. Mitzvah kitzud rishenu b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. When you seek out God with all your heart and soul, you'll find Him anyway. There's a pasuk we say in V'yitan Lecha. It's in the Haftarah of the last day of Pesach, Shmini Shepesach, Achni Shepesach. Va'amar b'yeimahu, listen to the pasuk. Va'amar b'yeimahu, on that day we are going to say, Hinei Elokeinu Zeh, this is my God, Kivinu Loi V'yeshienu, I am hoping for Him and He will save us. Zeh Hashem kivinu lei. This is the God that I'm hoping for. Nagila v'nismecha b'shuasei. We'll rejoice in His salvation. Okay? So listen to this pasuk. Va'amar b'yem ahu. In that day, ahu, like it says, Aster aster pane b'yem ahu. On that day, I will conceal myself. And what are we going to say? Hine Elokeinu Zeh, once there. And then the pasuk continues, Kivin Levi, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Li, twice Zeh. Okay? So on that day, the pasuk says, we're going to say twice the word Zeh. Zeh means this. Zeh, like the Gemara uses the expression, Mada Be'etzba, you point with your finger and you say this. Zeh is this. If it's not here, it's that. But if it's here in front of you, you don't say that thing, you say this thing. Okay? What happened by Kriyas Yamsuf? And this is a remarkable concept, by the way. Because God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu on his deathbed some pretty bad stuff. But what's the good in this? There's good in this. By Kriyas Yamsuf, when the Jews split the sea, they said, what we say in Davening every day in Az Yashar, Zeh Keli V'yan Vehu. This is my God, and I will exalt him. Okay? So the Gemara says, and the Medrash says even more, what does it mean they said, Zeh Keli V'yan Vehu? This is my God. This means they're pointing to it. What are they pointing to? So Rashi brings on in Bishalach from the Medrash, that Rosh HaShivcha LaYam, the maidservant, meaning the lowest level Jew, at the time the sea was split, saw what the greatest of prophets, Yechezkel ben Buzi, didn't see in the throne that he saw that we read on the first day of Shavuos, the Haftarah. The chariot of God, the throne of God. So what's the concept? By Kriyas Yamsuf, they saw godliness. They said Zeh. But they only said one time Zeh. Not twice. Va'amar b'yayma hu, in that day, who? That concealment day. Anechi hastir astir pane b'yayma hu. On that day God said, I'm going to conceal myself. On that day of concealment, what does the pasuk say? We're going to say twice Zeh. Double Zeh. That means, in a time of revelation, there was only one Zeh. Zeh Keli Van Veil. That was a revelation of godliness. When there is concealment of godliness, twice Zeh. But that doesn't make sense. If there's a revelation of godliness, and it's only one Zeh, how can a concealment of godliness be double Zeh? It doesn't make sense. But this is that, and this is what Hashem's telling Moshe Rabbeinu. First of all, he says, Anoichi hastir astir panai. Who is hiding? Anoichi is the essence of God. Not the names of Hashem, the essence of God. When you transform concealment to revelation, when you transform dark to light, that is the ultimate light and the ultimate revelation. When there is revelation and you have revelation, it's wonderful, but it's not the ultimate revelation. What's the ultimate revelation? When you make dark by Yemahu in that day, not Zeh, in that day of evil where God conceals himself from the Jewish people completely, and God is hidden to such an extent that the nations of the world control the Jews, and they're suffering and they're tortured, and they're finished, basically. When the Jew transforms that concealment of godliness to light, that is double Zeh, that's the ultimate level of revelation and connection with God. In other words, to paraphrase it a little bit and to elaborate on it. If everything God does is good, obviously, why in the world does he make exile when the Jews are in dark, spiritual and physical, and the Jews are tortured, and the Jews, you know, all the Russians and the communists and the Hitlers and the Khomeinis and the Spanish and
North Korea.
There's no Chabad yet in North Korea.
Maybe we should do that.
He's in South Korea, not North Korea. Now, that's the problem. The North Korea Chabad would be okay.
Yep.
They probably have to bring Coke there first, and then the Chabad can come. What does this mean? If, in fact, it says an interesting point. In Chassidus, it's brought down that when Mashiach comes, we'll have the Beis HaMikdash, we'll have all these great revelations. We're going to have a longing. We're going to miss the Golus days. That's what it says. We're going to miss the Golus days. Jews will always complain. It doesn't matter. But even when Mashiach comes, it says we're going to miss the exile days. Why? It doesn't make sense. We have freedom. Great, you know, bliss. Everything great. Physical, spiritual, everything's great. No illness, no poverty, no sickness, problem. Everything great. Even the kids might listen to you. Mashiach comes. So, what's the good of it? The good of it is very simple. Because when you have darkness, which is synonymous with evil, galus, exile, concealment of God, all that, right? We have the ability to transform that darkness into light. That's why God gives us galus. Because Jews keep Torah in exile, with the difficulties, and they still do Torah and mitzvahs, that creates a holiness of godliness that days of the temple and Beis HaMikdash and everything else can't do it. It can't do it. Because when evil is transformed to Kedusha, when darkness is made into light, that's the ultimate thing. Why? And that's why it says here the expression, Anechi, which is the essence of God. Light is light. Dark is dark. Right? If light is limited in being light, it cannot become dark. If dark is limited in being dark, it can't become light. You can bully darkness. You can get rid of darkness. You can bring in a light and the darkness will leave. You can get rid of it. But you cannot transform it. Because it's darkness is darkness. You can push it away. But it's still darkness. And like we said, the proof of it is, close the light, the darkness is back to where it was. So you didn't change it to light. So if light is light and dark is dark, so yes, you could push away darkness. You bring in light, you pushes away the darkness. But to change that dark should become light, which is not what it is, you can't make fire into water or water into fire. It's either fire or water. One of the two. It can't be both. You can't make fire into water, water into fire. You can't make light into dark and dark into light. How could you make dark into light? And this is unbelievable. When you tap in to a level of God that's above light and dark, which is above good and bad, which is above miracle and nature, which is above spiritual and physical, you tap into the essence of God, Anechi, this level of Anechi that the Torah speaks about, the essence of God, then what happens is, over that level, and I'll explain in a second, good and bad, light and dark are both equal. Because God is the creator. He made light, he made dark. Now, if he made light, how can he make dark? They're opposites. The answer is God's above both. If God is spiritual, how can he make physical? And if he's physical, how can he make spiritual? The answer is God is above both. We can't understand, our brains don't get it. But the fact is, that God is not spiritual, he's not physical. He's above both. And therefore he can make spiritual, he can make physical, and he can combine them. He can make dark, he can make light, and he can combine them because he's above both. When a Jew, through challenges of life, through darkness of life, still does Torah mitzvahs, they tap in to a level of godliness that is so great that light could become dark, or as far as we're concerned in this case, darkness itself becomes light. Not it gets pushed away. Darkness, you're going to close the light, it's still going to be light. Because darkness became light. And therefore, what's Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu? He's telling, listen to me, he says. The Jews are going to sin. But why am I letting that happen? If God doesn't want us to sin, let us not make us sin, that's all. Big deal.
Just he want him to not feel so bad that he's dying.
Who should? No. Moshe Rabbeinu died by Nashika. Don't worry, we're not about Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't afraid to die. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, let me tell you what the goal, the things going on over here. Okay? You're in the desert now, all Kedusha, all holiness, you learned, you daven, you had no worries, you didn't have to make a living, you had the mud, you had the clouds, you had the well, you had all your needs were taken care of. Okay? But that's not what I'm interested in. That's not my goal. God says, my goal is not that light should be light. Light should be light, no big deal. What am I going to do? I'm going to make the Jews sin. And the Jews are going to have a concealment. And they're going to have problems. And they're going to realize, hey, what happened to, where's my God? You know, from all these problems. And Hashem says at the end, what's going to happen is, ultimately, the purpose of all this is by you guys still doing mitzvahs when it's hard, not when it's easy. When it's hard and you're still doing Torah mitzvahs, you're keeping Shabbos and kosher and mikveh and tefillin and learning and all the mitzvahs that a person has to keep when it's hard. You do it. So then what happens? Anechi hastir aster. It's a double concealment. Like two negatives, it's really a positive. Hastir aster, the double negative. Right? I'm going to conceal. I mean the concealment's going to be concealed. So simply means it's going to be a real big concealment. But in a certain sense, what it means is, what's going to happen is, that this level of concealment is what's going to allow the Jews to say, Va'amar Vayemahu, on that day, who? Which is evil, not Zeh. The Jews are going to say double Zeh. Not like by Kriyas Yamsev, they said Zeh Keli, they saw this great revelation of God. What happens when through the Aved of Golus is going to be double Zeh. Hine Elokeinu Zeh, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lei. It's going to be a revelation of godliness that can only come when darkness is transformed to light. And that's why, as we learned many times, the Zayir explains, there's a pasuk Shlema Malach says, that you think for a minute, I don't need Shlema Malach to tell me it. Shlema Malach says, and we said this many times, V'ra'isi, in Kehela, Shlema Malach says, V'ra'isi, sheyesh yisrein l'chachma min hasichlus, sheyisrein ha'er min ha'cheshach. Translate the pasuk in the English literal translation, which is incorrect, by the way. Shlema Malach says, I see, Ra'isi, I see. Sheyesh yisrein l'chochma min hasichlus simply means that wisdom is better than foolishness, like the advantage of light over dark. This is a brilliant statement, Shlema Malach says. Guys, you know something? I see that brilliance is better than stupidity, like light is better than dark. And if Shlema Malach didn't say it, we wouldn't know it. So the Zayir says that's not what Shlema Malach, that's not what the Pasuk says. Because if that's what the Pasuk was saying, Shlema Malach should have said, V'ra'isi sheyesh yisrein l'chachma al hasichlus, ki yisrein ha'er al ha'cheshach, over darkness, over foolishness. That's not what he says. V'ra'isi sheyesh yisrein l'chachma min hasichlus, ki yisrein ha'er min ha'cheshach. What is Shlema Malach saying? Shlema Malach is a brilliant statement. You know what the greatest level of wisdom, he's not saying wisdom is better than stupidity, I don't need him to tell me that. Shlema Malach says, you know what the greatest level of brilliance is? min hasichlis, when foolishness becomes wisdom. Like the advantage, what is the ultimate yisr in the earth? What is the ultimate level of light? Min hachoshech, when it comes from darkness. When darkness is transformed to light, that's the ultimate level. And therefore, what Moshe Rabbeinu is being told by Hashem over here is nothing to get nervous about. He says the purpose of all the challenges and difficulties in life is to bring out a level of anechi, the level of the essence of God. Darkness is transformed to light. How could that be? Light is light and dark is dark. Because what you're actually doing is tapping into a level above both, to the extent that you're making the ultimate level of darkness into the ultimate level of light. What's that? Okay, this week the class is sponsored by the Mataban family in honor of Malka Bas Yitzchok, Shlomo HaKohen, the 21st yard site. No, Malik, Malka, yeah? Shalom Shiravan Aliyah. Malka.